Father, we are so thankful for who you are. Father, as you said, like in you, we live and move and exist. Father, everything in us, every cell of our being because of you, Father, and we're alive. I just praise you, Father, for not leaving us in the dark, not leaving us in the shadow, but you gave us your word. You gave us the clarity. You gave us the plumb line by which we can measure up and we can see where we are in line and where we are out of line. Father, and I'm just so thankful for the preaching of your word. I'm so thankful, Father, that your word is clear. It's understandable. Father, thank you that we have it in English and we can fully understand. Father, I just pray that you would remove Michael out of his way, that you would, Father, empower him by the Holy Spirit, that your spirit would speak through him. And Father, I just pray that your word would just penetrate our hearts, that your word would just correct our thoughts, correct our minds, correct our wrong understanding. Father, I just pray that you only be glorified through this, Father, that it's not what others think, that's not what I think, not what I feel like doing or not doing, Father. I just pray that he would not please man, but he would remember that you are the only one that he has to give an account. And Father, I just pray that you are the only one who would be glorified through your word. And I just pray, Father, help us to be quick to hear. Help us to be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to be angry, Father. And I just pray, help us just change our lives, Father, that we would be more like you, just a little bit more like you this week, Father, because of your word and because of what you've done for us. Lord, I love you and I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
She prays for me to get out of my own way, and that is so true. I get in the way of myself many times. The title of today's message is, Who Will You Obey? And as we come into this continuing part of the book of Acts, we can see, and one pastor put it like it was like riding the waves. And when we were in Florida and get out in the ocean, we only went out on days when the waves weren't so big, because when they are, they can knock me over, in spite of how much weight I'm carrying. And when surfers go out to ride the wave, you have the good times, and then you also have the bad times as well. And we can see throughout this progression where the power of the Holy Spirit gets stronger and stronger and stronger with each wave. But yet, there's times of persecution and hardship in between. And they were first told not to speak in Jesus' name earlier, when they healed, when Peter healed, or when God healed the lame man at the gate. And then they had trouble from within with the whole Ananias and Sapphira, and God's judgment came down on the church, and there was that fear and reverence for God, for how He moved and worked. But after that, they continued and they preached the Word of God even more, and more people got saved. And there are discouraging times in our lives and in the church. There are times when we're up on the wave and there's times when we're down. But know that the next surf is coming. That God, although the devil would have his plan to be thwarted, and you can see that throughout Acts. You have the persecution come, you have division come within the church, and then you have a great move of the Holy Spirit. Because they pressed on and they said, we're not going to give up. We're going to keep pressing into the Holy Spirit, and God is going to continue to work. And I love this passage of Scripture, and I want to read it because it's a passage of Scripture of freedom. It talks about the freedom that we have in the midst of our obedience to Jesus Christ. And I want to pick up in verse 17. It says, but the high priest rose up, and all who were with him, that is the party of the Sadducees. Now, I just want to stop there for a moment. They were sad, you see, because they didn't believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe in angels, and we're going to see the irony of God in a moment. Because there was an angelic visitation in a prison cell. It says, they were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public prison. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak and began to teach. And when the high priest came and those who were with him, they called together the council and the senate of the people of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came, they did not find him in the prison, so they returned and reported, we found the prison securely locked and the guards standing in the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside. I love the humor of God. Now when the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these words, they were greatly perplexed about them, wondering what this would come to. And greatly perplexed, they just couldn't figure it out. They were completely confused and out there and astounded and worried what now was going to happen. We couldn't stop the resurrection of Jesus with a lie by saying the disciples buried the body because he was seen by too many witnesses. Now what? Now what are we going to have to cover up? And then verse 25 it says, and someone came and told them, look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then the captain and the officers went and brought them, but not by force, for they were afraid. Excuse me. Of being stoned by the people. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest questioned them, saying, we strictly charged you not to teach in this name, yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching. And you intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Notice what Peter does. But Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at the right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. And when they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. But a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in honor by all the people, stood up and gave orders to put the men outside for a little while. And he said to them, men of Israel, take care that when you are about to do with these men, for before these days, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him. He was killed, and all the followers were dispersed and came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean rose up in the days of the census and drew away some of the people after him. He too perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone, for if this plan or this undertaking is of man, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God. So they took his advice, and when they had called the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day, in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that the Christ is Jesus. What a magnificent, powerful display of God's anointing for the gospel. You see, when we come to live our daily lives, there are going to be difficulties. There are going to be trials. There are going to be times of sadness and discouragement. It will come. But I want you to know this, that you are free. You are free. You are free. Because if we truly preach the gospel of Jesus Christ in obedience to God, there's going to be multiple attempts by other humans to stop us. That's what we see throughout the book of Acts. These guys did not want this thing to spread. And you would think the Sadducees would be in a position of, you know, this is not right doctrine. They're proclaiming a resurrection. We don't believe in the resurrection, but they didn't focus on the doctrine. Notice that they were filled with jealousy. What they were focused about was the name of Jesus. And what they wanted and were concerned about was when people are filled with jealousy, and how you know people are not coming in truth, is that jealous people want to be well known and have a name among the people. They're more concerned about their reputation and all the people following them. And they were worried. I mean, Solomon's colonnade was full. There was 10,000 people or more sitting there hearing the gospel from the apostles that were preaching it. And so they didn't come to say, okay, here, let's look at what the Word of God says and this is right and this is wrong. But they came with jealousy to protect their own fame and their name because they wanted the people to follow them. Now, there was a guy by the name of Gamaliel. He was a respected rabbi by everyone. He was said to be one of the greatest rabbis and studied under Hillel, which he wrote a lot of things in Jewish history if you want to study that. But he stood up. He said, guys, if this is of God, it's going to fade away. If it's not of God, you're going to be found opposing God and you can't stop it. So there's going to be all kinds of ways that people and things and circumstances in your life might try to stop you. The devil might come at you and try to discourage you psychologically and emotionally and socially. Whatever ways that he comes at you. Anybody ever face those kinds of things? You say, wait a minute, we are not being thrown in prison in America, right? Or not, yet. But we get made fun of and whispered about at the drink station at the workplace if we take a stand for Jesus. People will try to discourage, oh, so-and-so means well, but he's kind of a nut. He's kind of a fanatic. She's kind of a, you know, she's a little bit, you know, whatever it is, the way that those attempts come to stop you from proclaiming Jesus and by living in the truth and living in joy and carrying on what God has called you to do, don't listen to it. Because people will even try to use physical force, as we see in this case. But if we truly preach the gospel of Jesus in obedience to God, God will provide freedom for us to continue to obey by feeding the hungry with truth. And I love this. I mean, they slap them in prison, close it and seal it, and put the guards on the outside. And these Sadducees didn't believe in angels, and an angel shows up. And I don't know if they just walked them through the prison door and they just went through it supernaturally, or if the angel opened it up real neatly and just stuck his finger in and turned the lock. But we know that he closed everything back up and left it just the way it was. Because when they went in there, they found it securely locked, but nobody inside. See, this freedom that God provides requires boldness to continue to speak in a very hostile environment. And I just love the heart of the apostles. And I could do more well to have that kind of boldness inside of me, and I hope you will see that same thing. Because what did they do? The angel said, I want you to go to the same spot that you were arrested and start teaching the name of Jesus again. Now, a year ago, we were dealing with foxes that were coming to get our chickens. And there was a young little fox, a little varmint, that came, and we got out there in time. The chicken had had feathers all over the place, strewn all over, left a trail. But what that fox did, he was so bold that in maybe 5 minutes later, he came back to the scene of the crime. At the time, I didn't have the proper firearms to take care of him. But that's the kind of boldness we're talking about. They were arrested for speaking the name of Jesus. That would be like them coming here and arresting one of us, and then the very next day you're right back here preaching again and teaching the people. Wow, I love that obedience to God. But notice how God gives us the freedom to do that. You know, I've read stories of those that have been arrested and put in prison, but they still feel as free as they ever were, and God used them to minister to their fellow cellmates in jail. In fact, there was a time when later on in Acts when God set them free from the prison, but He told them to stay in prison. I'm going to open the doors, but I want you guys to stay here because I want the jailer to know Christ. That this is just so full. If you don't see the humor in this, you're missing out. Because we're going to throw these guys in jail and then we're going to get our following back and our money back and all this kinds of stuff. And we don't believe in angels, but then an angel opens the door and they go and nobody's there. They went right back out. And then someone comes and says, they were perplexed. Someone comes and says, they're out there preaching again. And notice what the angel tells them. He says, the freedom of God provides a way for us to teach the life of following Jesus. What are we talking about? Jesus says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Jesus says in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. He is our life. He is what makes us fully alive. And St. Irenaeus, one of the early saints in the church, said, the glory of God is a man fully alive. He says, I want you to go right back out there proclaiming the resurrection, because remember, that was key. They were witnesses to the resurrection. They were to preach the resurrection, especially in the temple courts to the Jewish people. As the freedom of God is going to perplex our enemies, who are filled with jealousy, fear, and guilt, and anger, and send us to teach those who are hungry for truth. Now, it didn't take long. They were right back there, and that crowd was right back in Solomon's colonnade again. 10,000 or more people again gathered. And you'd think, you know, these Sadducees would have realized, but they were so focused on, we're going to get these guys, kill these guys, get rid of them, that they didn't see what was happening on the temple grounds. So someone comes in. It says they're out there. And so what do? Because they know they're guilty, they come out and they kind of just like, that's not the right one. I got a dirty look. Hey, we got something for you back here.
What do we got?
Hey, everybody, 10,000 people, what's going on? Yeah, I got a prize for you back here. So they're just like, okay, you can sit down. I don't have a prize. You thought maybe I had a chocolate or something. Like, there might be something left over from last year under here. I don't know. But they were afraid that this crowd of 10,000 people were going to stone them. So they just kind of casually walked out and escorted them in. And the apostles, they didn't fight because they believed, well, God got us out of prison once. He can do it again. He put us right back where we were supposed to be preaching. So don't let the threats, the imprisonments, the psychological intimidation stop you from proclaiming the way of life. This Jesus who saved our souls, who set us free. See, the freedom of God is going to perplex our enemies because they are living in this guilt. They're afraid of being stoned, so they're saying, oh, we're not going to force them. So they didn't force them, but they went willingly. Number three, In order to continue to truly preach the gospel of Jesus Christ in obedience, each of us must make a clear choice to obey God rather than humans. Let me rephrase that again in different ways so we could say, you know, God has given us a clear choice to obey God rather than other humans. Obey God rather than the devil. To obey God rather than our emotions that lie and lead us astray. To obey God rather than that intimidation that we hear on a daily basis or we feel even. He says, okay, you told us not, we strictly charged you not to teach in His name. Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and you intend to bring this man's blood upon him. But Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than men. You know, you may not be called to speak that out in your workplace or your home or wherever you're at to say, God has called me to obey Him and not you. But you can do that in your heart. You can make an altar in your heart and you can say, I choose to obey God rather than men. I choose to please God rather than the people around me. And here's what happens. You know, Peter right away goes, we have to obey God. And then he said, the God of our fathers raised Jesus. Now the angel told him, go proclaim this life. And the very first thing he starts out with, to these Sadducees who did not believe in a resurrection for anybody, he says the very thing that offends them the most. God raised him from the dead. And then he said, after they said, you're content to make us guilty of this man's blood. Now, if you're to read in Matthew 27, 24 to 25, what did the religious leaders say? They said, let his blood be on our hands. They took the ownership of it. So now here they're saying, we don't want to be guilty of it. And so what does Peter do? Or what does the apostles do? So they, if we choose to obey God, we must boldly proclaim the resurrection Jesus. Second part is when we choose to obey God, we will boldly proclaim the death of Jesus for our sins, speaking the blunt truth in a culture that views the truth as hatred and judgment. And that's exactly where these Sadducees were at. So you're going to continue to blame us. And notice the apostles didn't come up to them and say, oh, we're so sorry. We're so sorry. Why don't you come over to our grandma's kitchen and I'll make you a cookie and we'll just sit down and have a nice chat and don't worry about it. He's not going to condemn you. They said, you crucified Him. You crucified Him. And this is the gospel. Because the gospel is that we crucified Jesus because of our sins. We are responsible for that. He did it for us. They proclaimed the resurrection, the death of Jesus. You killed Him. I don't know if I could do what they did. I mean, really? Sadducees, and then you bring up the resurrection right away? And then they said, we're not going to be guilty of this blood, even though we already said we're guilty, or we're going to take it upon us. He says, looks right at him, you crucified Him. That's boldness. That's the power. Only God can enable somebody to stand and be able to do that. But the next part is when we choose to obey God, we will proclaim Jesus as the one and only exalted. He's our leader and our Savior. So they move from the resurrection to the death of Jesus Christ and now the ascension, that He is seated at the right hand of God Almighty in heaven. And when we choose to obey God, we'll preach a message of repentance and forgiveness. He didn't make them feel good, but He did say there is a way out of this. So there is a way of blessing because God loves us He gives us the opportunity to repent and receive this forgiveness that we all reveled in this morning in our partaking of communion. So when we choose to obey God, we'll preach a message of repentance and forgiveness. And if there is not repentance preached in the gospel, then the gospel, part of the gospel is missing. And you know today with what's happening in our culture, we want everybody to just be okay with each other no matter what, right? We just don't want anybody to be offended or hurt, even if what they believe, you know, you're about to get hit by a train. But I like to walk down the middle of the train tracks. It makes me feel good. No, I'm going to go and shove them out of the way. Whoa. What boldness, what power. Folks, this is not going to be a popular message in American culture right now. Nor will it be in the future. But this is the power of what truly changes people's lives from the inside out. To see that we have a need for a Savior. To see it was we're responsible because of our sins. And nailed Him there, and the fact that He would show us such extravagant love and grace and send His Son to die if we would repent. And the last part of that is, you're not alone. You're not alone. They witnessed to the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, but they said along with what? Who? Holy Spirit. You're not in this thing alone. This is charged with the power of the Holy Spirit. Fourthly, we must be encouraged to remember that when people are trying to stop us from preaching the full gospel of Jesus Christ, they're opposing God, and who can oppose God? And Gamaliel spoke with wisdom, but he didn't go all the way and say, well, let us examine our doctrines, let's make sure that what we believe, maybe He is the Messiah. He didn't go that far, but he just kind of said, okay, you know, if it's going to go away like all these. He lived a long time. He was a wise man. He saw Thaddeus. He saw this other guy rise up among the people and, I'm the Messiah. And then they died and then the whole crowd dispersed. So far, Jesus died and rose again. He ascended into heaven. This crowd isn't dispersing, is it? It just keeps getting bigger. So we must rest in the truth that God can't be stopped. I know it's a fearful thing when people make fun of us. It's a fearful thing when maybe we'll be hauled off to jail like in other countries that it's happened to our dear beloved brothers and sisters and getting their homes taken away from them. But here's what gives us the hope and the confidence that the gospel cannot be stopped. And you know, every one of these apostles were martyred. Peter was crucified upside down. John was boiled in a pot. And all of them died, but their blood still speaks the gospel today. So the gospel cannot stop. It cannot stop. So I would hope that that truth, that they experience this freedom, that they throw him in jail. I may get you out, but I may leave you in there, but you're still going to be free to proclaim the gospel. I'm still going to make a way to do it. They may kill you, but your testimony stands firm. And other people will take up the cross and continue to preach after you die. What a legacy of faith. What a power of the gospel that God has given us, that it can't be stopped. So we have to have faith that God will give us the freedom to continue to proclaim no matter what circumstances come our way. And we must remember that while the world may restrict us in Christ, we are always free. Do you believe that? While the world may restrict us in Christ, we will always be free. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. Free! They can put duct tape over my mouth, but I can sign language the gospel. They can find characteristics and attributes. If you look at me long enough, you'll find them to make fun of. But that's something to stop the gospel from being preached. Don't say anything to him. Yes. You have that freedom. In the Holy Spirit. We're always free. And last of all, when we choose to continue to preach the gospel in obedience to God, there's going to be a cost, but the cost is an honor. Look at what happened in the last part of the verses again. It said that, okay, we're going to beat you. And that was a serious thing. When the temple guard would beat you with the common 39 lashes, your skin broke apart. It was painful. 39 times. We're not talking about a little slap in the hand or a little belt on the bottom. We're talking about flesh ripping and pain. But what did they do? I just love this. It says they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor. For the name. For the name. So they probably went hobbling out of there. With bloody wounds and all. It didn't look like they sat down and had a rest. They said in every day in the temple from house to house they did not cease teaching and preaching the Christ. Is Jesus, or the Messiah, the one that was promised to you Israelites, is Jesus. We might be beaten, whether it's physical, emotional, or psychological. We must remember that if we're suffering dishonor by humans, we're really being honored and counted worthy by God for the name of Jesus Christ. And you know, and this comes down to our love for Jesus Christ. We love Him because He first loved us. And if we love Jesus, it's going to be an honor to say, I was beaten for Jesus today. I was made fun at school for Jesus today because I went to Bible club. Or I stopped and prayed for somebody. Count it joy. Count it joy. We can rejoice, and this joy was not a human contrived joy. I don't know if I could rejoice. You know, there's that funny, I don't know if you've seen that commercial where they ask the little computer thing that talks, and they say, computer, what is man flu? And the husband's laying there. He said, that's when your husband has a common cold, but he acts like it's the flu. Anybody seen that? Maybe not. Anybody see your spouses do that? I know Tanya can get up and testify. When she's sick, she keeps cleaning. When I'm sick, oh, help us, Lord. My arms are hanging off the side of the bed. They didn't do that. They rejoiced and they kept right on a trucking. They kept right on a preaching. They went right back to the temple with this crowd gathering around. They did not give up. They had a supernatural joy from the Lord. He says this joy later in the epistles, unspeakable and full of glory. It's a joy that's not just a feeling because they didn't feel good. They were in pain. But it's a joy that causes us to dispense of love with action and do what God has called us to do no matter what's going to happen. They're going to be motivated to preach the gospel and never ever cease from it. I want to read you a story. Just in closing today, I don't know if you've heard of Richard Rumbrand, but a man who suffered greatly in Romania for his faith. He describes this kind of joy that we're talking about. He says, when he was in a Romanian prison, his tormentors ripped chunks of flesh out of him, and he had the scars to prove it, and he was sentenced to solitary confinement, and for weeks and even months on end, no one would speak to him in his tiny cell. Amazingly, during all of that, there were times when he was overcome with joy. You're going to see this later when the apostles, and when they were in there worshiping and singing God while they were in chains after they'd been beaten against a cold wall with all the sores open against the bricks and the stones. They were singing and rejoicing. He would actually stand up in his weakened state and dance around in his cell, confident that the angels were dancing with him. He was released from prison unexpectedly, and he left the prison dressed like a scarecrow with his teeth rotted and in terrible shape. He met a peasant woman on the road, and she was carrying a cart of strawberries. When she offered him one, he started to take it, but then he said, "No thanks, I'm going to fast." He went home to his wife and they prayed and fasted as a memorial to the joy he had experienced in prison, asking God for the same kind of joy outside of prison. Can't even add to that. If I was in that state and I get out, someone goes by with a cart of cheese, I'm not going to just take one, I'm just going to dive into that cart. Because he recognized the importance of that supernatural joy that comes from this, we're going to fast and thank God. And I pray that now that I'm out of prison, I'm going to still experience this same kind of joy in Jesus Christ in spite of my circumstances around me. I'm going to keep on moving ahead. Say, Holy Spirit, bring it on. Come and fill us. Come and continue to do your work in our church and in our lives. We proclaim, God, that we are victorious in you, and we thank you for the power of the cross. And God, I pray that you'd fill each and every one of us with the power of your Spirit today. Lord, that we would live the gospel in faith, that we would not turn to the right or to the left, but we would stand strong and stand firm with our eyes fixed on Jesus, because we confess that you are the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord, you suffered, so we suffer. And Lord, thank you for the privilege and honor of being counted in your camp. And Lord God, I pray that you would forgive me and forgive us for times when we've allowed circumstances to discourage us and to put us down and to stop us and slow us down from the power of your Spirit and from preaching your gospel. Lord, I pray, it's my prayer, you fill me and fill every brother and sister seated in here with this kind of tenacity and joy. Thank you for being the kind of God that operates with such humor. People don't believe in angels, you'll send an angel. People don't believe in freedom, you'll show them freedom by opening a prison door. Thank you, Jesus. We entrust ourselves to you as the Creator to do as you seem fit in our lives so that you would be glorified. Not to us, O Lord, will the glory go, but to you alone. Not to our plan, O Lord, but your glorious plan that gives you the most glory and displays your goodness at work in our lives. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would touch and raise up every brother and sister and encourage them with the fire of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and give God the glory this morning and just exalt Him and magnify Him and thank Him. Just lift up the name of Jesus. Just begin to praise Him and exalt Him and magnify His name and bless Him. Lord, we honor you and we say to you be the glory. To God be the glory. Great things He has done. You are worthy, Lord Jesus. And God, we leave this sanctuary this morning rejoicing with great joy, knowing for the things in the future that you have for each and every one of us, knowing that you are going to continue to pour out your Spirit in spite of difficulties in our life that may come. Lord, we ask for your power and your strength. We ask for your consistency and your stability. And we ask for this tenacity that the disciples had, Lord Jesus, that we would get right back up and get right back out there preaching again and teaching again and loving again and speaking truth again in Jesus' name. God, I pray that you bless each and every one of my brothers and sisters and that you send them with this blessing, this mercy, God, this love, and this power, Lord, to take and be your testimony, your witnesses Lord, protect us and keep us safe. We pray, Lord, against any kind of sickness or illness that may come upon the congregation, Lord, for the wrong reasons. And Father, we just pray that You'd be with those that are sick even today, that You'd touch their body and heal them, and that You'd give us the strength to carry on. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.